You are listening to The Healthy Living Code, a podcast created for active people of the triangle who value their health and will do anything to protect it. Before we begin, if you currently suffer from pain, head over to thepainreliefbook.com and download a copy of our free book, How to Get Rid of Pain and Back to Living an Active Life Without Pain Medications, Injections, and Surgery. Now here's your host, the owner of Kaizen Physical Therapy, Dr. Derek Nielsen.
All right, welcome back to the Healthy Living Code. I have with me our next guest. It's Susan Sanger. Thank you so much for joining us here. I really do appreciate your time.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit more, or tell myself and the listeners a little bit about you and how you became to where you are today. I know you have a background before you became the owner of Spry Fitness. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I was a trainer at a gym for 8 years. And before that, I was a dance therapist, dance movement therapist. So what I like about training as opposed to dance therapy is a mental health profession, but it uses movement as a means of helping people to understand like their emotions and their behaviors and things like that. And so with training, I'm still working with people's bodies, and I'm also working with behavior change, lots of one-on-one work, but it's not really therapy. It's more understandable for people, and I think I'm sort of a frontline healthcare provider in that
Definitely.
Way, as I see people before they've been to the doctor or before they go to a therapist, and I might recommend they do one or the other of those things, but I'm not actually the provider responsible for that. I get to just think about, more behavior change in terms of health and fitness and working with their functional bodies, which I really enjoy. The biomechanics part is really fun to me. And then when I was in the gym, I was working with a lot of the older members. They sort of gravitated towards me and I towards them and enjoyed that. And so Spry Fitness came out of that because I realized that I wanted to work primarily with people over 55. And I realized I could do that in their homes and that might be quite convenient for them. And I was hoping to reach some people who might be intimidated by going to the gym and might not have ever been like a exerciser, and that I could help them right there in their house.
Yeah, I think that's very neat. I think that's a great population that you benefit. How long were you a dance therapist?
Well, I became a board certified dance therapist in 97 or something like that. So for a long time, yeah. Long time.
And then, so you said something that's pretty unique. You actually go to people's houses and train them.
Right.
So what, because when I think of a gym, and I'm sure when a lot of our listeners think of a gym, it's, hey, I need this equipment.
Right.
What do you take with you, or what's kind of different about what you do as opposed to going to a gym when you go to people's houses?
So most people, even in the gym, are not using the really big dumbbells or even, multiple, certainly not multiple large plates on the machines. And most of my clients are not people who are going to need a leg press or a squat rack or a Smith machine or 50-pound plus dumbbells. So I can carry lighter dumbbells. I have resistance bands, medicine balls, things like that that are easy to transport. Some people even already have some of that equipment in their house. Mm-hmm. And you can also do a lot with just your body weight. If you do enough lunges, you're going to feel it, with or without any dumbbells at your side.
I know that firsthand. The other day I went and worked out and my hips were so sore. I didn't lift any weight.
There you go.
And I was so sore I could barely walk.
The other thing is I rarely used machines with my clients even when I was at the gym. Machines don't necessarily equate to functional movement.
Yeah, definitely.
You could do a huge amount of weight on a leg press machine and not be able to do a squat of any value.
Yeah.
It just isn't equivalent.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I think the, like you said, it's not functional. I think the majority of machines, I just don't even touch them.
Right. They stabilize your body for you, so it's helpful if you're using a machine to really target a specific muscle, either for bodybuilding or if you're recovering from an injury, then that's sometimes useful. But it means that you're not stabilizing your body, so you're not using your core, and you're not using your body in a way, a natural functional way, that you would really use it out in the world when you need your strength and your mobility and your stability. So to me, it just, they had very limited use anyway. So I don't miss them.
I'm with you. No, that's awesome. So what are the majority of your clients that you see, what is their goal when they sit down with you, you know, that first session, you're kind of writing out, hey, what does it look like 6 months from now? What's their goal typically when they come and see you, or the reason why they're contacting you?
So a lot of older people don't have a specific performance goal. They generally aren't looking to be able to run a 5K or bench press a certain amount of weight. They want to be functional. They want to be able to move. They want to have less back pain, you know, so they often need some core stability. They want some strategies for dealing with some of their pain. They want to be able to do the things that they have been doing and enjoying their life. So they want to be able to travel, which might mean they need to be able to walk some distance. Maybe they need to walk on uneven terrain. Maybe they want to go to Europe and there's cobblestone streets and they don't feel comfortable walking on uneven terrain, so they want to work on balance. They want to be able to get down on the floor with their grandbabies and get back up again. They want to be able to have that energy, mobility, strength, and really overall confidence to live the life that they've been living and continue, you know, to enjoy that. And so it's a functional thing. It's an everyday life. Can I get down in the garden and weed and get back up again and not be sore and hurt? Can I run around after my grandkids? Can I go on that trip to Europe? Can I continue to live at home maybe longer than some other people do? They see their peers moving into assisted living or continuing care places, some of which are quite lovely and you know, definitely not against those places for people, but a lot of people would like to stay in their homes and they need to be able to walk up and down their stairs. They need to be able to take care of themselves, and they need the mobility and the strength and the energy and the confidence to do that.
So it's more about, if I'm hearing right, it's more about maintaining what you have as opposed to some sort of, I think like you said, a fitness goal.
So often it is, and you know, as people age, they do have a tendency to lose muscle mass. So maintaining muscle mass is important. And obviously, both for men and women, we think about it for women, but it's really for men and women to maintain bone density. So you need the resistance training for that. And a lot of people just don't really know how to do that, so they need expert guidance. Mm-hmm. They are afraid of getting hurt, so they, you know, want to make sure that whatever they're doing is not going to cause them more trouble. And I like to joke that my motto is getting hurt is not part of the plan. So I'm kind of a stickler for form, which might be kind of boring and annoying to some people, but I think my clients appreciate that I'm really watching and paying attention to how they're doing exercises, and I'm not going to let them do something that's going to get them hurt. Because again, there's no purpose to that. Yeah. It just makes you go backwards. People do get stronger. People find that they have less pain. So that's not maintaining. You don't want to maintain the status quo when you're in pain. So, you know, having less pain is progress for sure. A lot of times people have knee pain and they don't know how to exercise to around that. And that's one of the things I like to do. And I think maybe why I like the population is that they have more puzzle pieces that I have to put together. You know, I can't just go in there with a cookie cutter workout, because everybody's different and I need to make adjustments for everybody that accommodates their body's history. You know, they've been around enough that they've been injured and they've had different stressors on their bodies that, you know, this is something we have to contend with, but it's totally possible.
Yeah, and you sent me a newsletter a couple weeks ago, and I think there was even a testimonial in there of somebody that had, was it a total knee?
Yes, he had knee replacement. He's actually had two. He had one like 6 months earlier, so now he's recovering from his second one. And it was after his second one that he said his physical therapist was really pleased with him, that he was prepared for the surgery, because the stronger you are before you go in, the better your recovery is going to be. And then certainly after you've had the surgery, and I always, you know, make sure everybody goes through proper physical therapy. You got to do that protocol. And then, but then they get discharged from physical therapy and they still need to be doing the exercises and they need to progress those exercises. So that's what we do.
Gotcha.
And that's what we did with him.
Yeah, that's a whole nother can of worms. we won't open that, the physical therapy thing. But when you see your clients that are 55 and older, is it usually somebody that's injured or has been injured, or what do you typically see?
Not necessarily. I do have a gentleman who has had quite a number of injuries. He was an athlete and he got himself into all kinds of situations. And I had one of my sort of star clients years ago was a guy who had, you know, a skiing accident, and he had a rod in his ankle, and can't feel part of the bottom of his foot, and so he had really compromised balance. It was really hard for him to even stand on one foot for any period of time. And after a few years, I mean, he was like, people would come up to him and say, "I want to be like you when I grow up," because he's like running and jumping and throwing medicine balls around, and it's great.
And overcoming it.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he still has numbness in his foot, and he's still going to be not, you know, he's not going to get that feedback, and so balance is going to be tougher. That's just the way it is, but he was doing all kinds of stuff that he couldn't do before and maybe didn't think he could do.
And so that,
But that's not answering your question exactly, because I'm saying, like, that's one part, that's definitely one part of my clientele, but then there are other people who know they don't necessarily have specific injuries to contend with, but they're just feeling like they're maybe stiffer, or maybe they're just feeling like their fitness is going downhill, or maybe they've never really been an exerciser, but they know, because I'm starting to get older, I really need to be, you know, moving my body, because that's what everybody says I need to do in order to stay spry. That's why I named my business that. It means energetic and agile, even in older, you know, as we age. And that's what I want to help people do.
How long, and I should have asked you this in the beginning, how long have you considered yourself an exerciser?
Oh, wow. That's kind of interesting, because so I grew up as a dancer, and so I didn't really think of that as being an athlete. Mm-hmm. In fact, I started playing tennis, and I realized I never did any ball sports. I don't know this whole thing with like balls bouncing and coming at me. I don't know what to do with that. So it's kind of funny, but I started as a dancer. I mean, you'd think you'd be really fit, but I wasn't particularly strong, nor was I particularly flexible. I got away with it for a while, but I guess in my late 20s, I started doing more stuff in a gym and actually lifting, and then started doing yoga, and yoga helped me tremendously with my flexibility, mm-hmm. and just really understanding how to effectively stretch. And having the balance between strength and flexibility, that it's not all about just being like loosey-goosey and flexible versus then, you know, the meathead who's like all about just muscle. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you need to have a really nice balance of those two things. So I was lucky to have really good yoga teachers who really helped me understand that and taught me really good strategies. And so and maybe around that part of my life, I started thinking of myself as an exerciser. I think I never really, there was never like a moment. I just sort of have been for a long time.
You've been active though. I mean, I consider dance.
I've always been a mover. And, you know, I got into dance therapy because when I wasn't moving, I wasn't okay. You know, like I felt, if I took time off from dancing, I would dream about dancing. You know, I just, it was something that was part of me and I needed to do. And it made sense to me that it's an expressive art form and it's your body is your most basic kind of means of communication. You know, movement is your first language. So it made sense to me to help people understand themselves through movement.
Love it. And then, you know, let me ask you, what is, and I asked this to another guest on here, Betsy, what is the biggest misconception that you see? And I kind of want to talk about the population that you see. So 55 and plus, what's the biggest misconception that you hear or see if somebody's reaching out to you for fitness or maybe possibly they're worried about getting into an exercise regimen? What is the biggest misconception you see or hear?
Well, the thing that pops into my mind is that I often will hear people ask, what should I be able to do? Or what can I do? What can I do at my age? And what I find is that pretty much at any age, you could ask yourself, well, do you know people your age who are pretty much incapacitated? Like you know, they don't move and they can't do very much. They get winded easily versus people your own age who are doing amazing things, you know, running marathons or triathlons or any number of things like that. So the range of possibility is huge, and you just have to ask yourself, like, what is it that I want and what am I willing to do to get there? Mm-hmm. And of course we all have limitations. We all have our genes and we all have, you know, our histories, our personal histories, health histories, but really it's not about your age. So I think that was probably the biggest one. And then the other one is people are afraid of getting hurt. And they also, because I work in their home, they also think they don't have room to work out. But most everybody has plenty of space. You don't need a lot of space. I mean, it's nice if you have space, but you don't really need a lot of space. You need, you know, the square footage that you can lift your arms and, you know, take a step forward and back. I mean, it's really not that big a deal. Like the size of a walk-in closet is enough.
And it's, you know, we're recording this, it's May and it's warm enough outside, and you can go outside.
Right, and then you can go outside. Soon it'll be too hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's lovely to go outside. And, you know, I have a agility ladder and cones and so we can play with stuff outside.
You got a trunk full of goodies.
I have a trunk full of goodies. I did get warned by another friend who used to carry around lots of kettlebells that it blew out her suspension.
Oh, wow.
So I do have to pay attention to not having too much weight in my trunk. But yeah, I don't think I do.
So do you typically see, you know, a client once a week, twice a week, or and how long are the sessions?
So I meet with people for an hour, and that's pretty much door-to-door, meaning like I walk in and I walk out. So we're not necessarily jumping up and down for 60 whole minutes, but close, pretty close. We warm up. We go through either a weight and or, you know, cardio or agility or balance or core, you know, cover all those bases. We cool down, we stretch. I really find it's terribly important. Most people blow off either the warm up or the cool down or both. So that's why I think an hour is a good amount of time because you can really make sure you get all those things in. You can certainly spend more time, but most of us don't really want to have to spend more time. But less time and you're going to miss out on something, I think. And then, unless you're really super efficient, but still, I think it's, you need to spend that time to warm up adequately and then to cool down and to stretch. And yeah, so I'm in and out pretty much in that hour. And most people are either once or twice a week.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you did say something a minute ago about, it sounds like the same reason why people are scared to come to you, it also drives them to come to you. Mm. So they're kind of fearful of injury, mm-hmm. but then they're fearful of injury, so they're kind of in a catch-22.
Right, so move and exercise so you're less prone to it, you know. If you are stretching and you're working your body with and getting stronger, you're less likely to get injured accidentally. I do have somebody who just recently contacted me who specifically has some undefined pain. She's not really sure like why it happens to her, and so she was interested in me specifically because my background in dance and yoga and being able to really watch and pay attention and try lots of different things so we can find a way for her to move without injuring herself, because that's been her limitation and her fear. And she specifically called me because she thought I might be able to do that, rather than just another person, here, lift this, here, lift that. Right. And I'm flattered, of course. I hope I can help. And I do think that my dance background is something that helps me a lot. And in dance therapy, in part of that is the training of really watching, of understanding someone else's body by kind of moving with them and sort of having that empathy of like, okay, if my body were doing that, what would that feel like? And being able to understand that myself so that I can say, that probably doesn't feel very good. Let's not do that anymore. Or through different, you know, movement experiences I've had, improvisation, is like I have a lot of different ways to move. You don't have to do it just this way all the time. You know, there's lots of ways to move, and we can be creative and we can find ways to move that work for you. And that's part of that puzzle kind of metaphor that I was using. It's like everybody's a puzzle, and that's kind of the fun challenge.
And I think that's the benefit of, because there's a lot of, you know, this day and age, you see all these exercise classes. You know, you've got CrossFit and some of these camps, and you go into the big box gyms and you've got more big classes. And it's like those exercises are great, but some people need more than that. Or, you know, I'll get people in here that they get injured doing that type of stuff. I guess, do you see that same population where they've tried some stuff and then it actually, it takes them back? It hurts them to go in that direction. They're like, I need something different.
Yeah. I've had people say, you know, I tried this class and I got hurt. And that's really unfortunate, because you're right. I think there's so much good stuff happening in some of those classes. But the problem is, the teacher might make really good corrections and might give good cues. But if the person doesn't know that she or he is the one that the teacher is talking about, or doesn't know how to make the correction, the teacher can't go over to that one student and say, let's try it this way. And, you know, so you don't get the eyeballs, you don't get the hands-on, so you don't get the corrections that you might need, and you don't even know necessarily that you need them, you know. And so I sometimes say, I'm your mirror. I'm here looking at you and helping you understand like what's going on and how to move your body so it's efficient and you're going to get the most out of that exercise without getting hurt. And the other good thing about a class is that there's that group mind and that push. Mm-hmm. So you're going to work harder in a class than you might work on your own, but you might work beyond what's safe for you. So that's the other downside. So, you know, I have clients that I have to push and I have clients I have to pull back. And that's kind of funny too. Some people are like, I'm going for it, I'm gonna do this and that. And it's like, okay, slow down. And then there's other people I have to nudge, like, okay, let's do this.
And that's when I hired you.
Yeah, and you know, and so the class might be good for somebody like that, you know, and you just have to know yourself. And I think there's a balance, you know, classes serve a purpose, but mm-hmm. it's really helpful to have that one-on-one time.
Yeah, I think you said it perfect with, you know, you're their mirror. I think that kind of sums it up perfectly. Hey, what is your mission for starting Spry Fitness?
Well, I want to help people to live long and live strong. Like, I want them to be able to do what they want to do, and for as long as they can do that. I have clients in their 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's awesome. They're, you know, they're making progress. You can make progress at any age.
Yeah.
That might be another misconception, you know, is that I reach a certain age and like I'm done. And I think that's just that's a decision that you make. It's not a reality. At some point, you know, of course it might become reality, but I think to a large degree, that's something that you choose. That's something you decide. Like, what point am I going to throw in the towel? And if you never throw in the towel, then you can keep plugging along.
Just out of curiosity, the 80-year-old, is it a male or a female?
It's a guy.
It's a male, okay.
Yep.
The only reason why I ask that is because it seems like it's so much harder to get males into the clinic here than it is females. And so it made me, I assumed that the 80-year-old was a female.
I did have a woman in her later 80s for a while. And she was really interesting too, because she was actually never an exerciser. She had zero health problems, but she had just noticed that she had less energy than she wanted to have. But she had no exercise routine, and I only worked with her for a few months, but we set up a simple routine for her, which she was super diligent about doing, which is key. And so that was enough for her. She got the amount of endurance and stamina that she wanted, and she was doing her daily exercise, which she had never done before, which, you know, so that's a huge change, right? And at 86, she made progress, which is so awesome, right? I mean, I have to admit, even myself, I have this sort of prejudice that it's like, 86, you know, really? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But she made progress, and she instituted a routine that she does daily, and she got what she needed.
That's awesome.
So she just knows if she needs more to do, or she needs to get a kick in the tuchus so she can keep doing it, then she knows where to find me. But otherwise, she's doing her thing, and it's working for her, so that's perfect.
We should have brought her on here today.
She would be fun. She's a very cool person.
So do you do anything else then? So it sounds like you set up a plan for her to do on her own, but you usually go and see people at their house. Is that something you regularly do, is set up a plan for people if they're interested in that?
I will give them, I'll give them some routines to do so that they can do in between, because 2 days a week isn't enough. You got to do some other things. So that might mean taking a walk. It might mean working in your garden. It could mean a lot of different things, or it could be these are some go-to exercises for you that'll take you half an hour, and you can do that on, you know, any other day that you find to do it.
Perfect. So if somebody wanted to work with you, and by the way, I really think you have a great niche, and serving these people is awesome, and being able to go to their house, I'm a big fan. where can somebody find you if they're interested in learning more about you? Or I think you also offer a free visit, is that correct? Where can they find out more about that?
Yeah, so the name of the business is Spry Fitness, S-P-R-Y. My website is spryfitnessnc, for North Carolina, .com. And I'm also spryfitnessnc at gmail.com. And if you go to my website, you'll find my contact info. And the way I usually work when somebody contacts me to potentially start up as a new client is I send you my intake form. It's like a client questionnaire. Mm-hmm. What are your goals? What are you currently doing? What have you done before? What's your health history? You know, it's not, I mean, I feel like it's thorough, but it doesn't take too long to do it. It's pretty simple. And then once you've done that, we'll get together in person. And that takes about half an hour. And that part's, you know, that's a one-on-one individual live in-person appointment, but it's free. Uh-huh. And we'll go through that questionnaire and I'll do a few movement assessments so I can see how you move and how your body's working right now, maybe get some baseline. And then we go from there.
Perfect. So just go to your website or email you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
This was really fun. Thanks for making it easy.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.